If you're anything like me, you are a huge fan of true crime and dark humor merchandise. Otis B. Dredd's here to tell you about the best place to get all of your true crime and dark humor swag. Try TrueCrime7.store. True crime, spell out 7, SEVEN.store. The only place you need to go for true crime and dark humor. I'm going to tell you what, this place has some really great prices. You can't beat their prices. 30-day money-back guarantee if you are not happy, and I guarantee you will be. Free shipping on order, $75 and up. 24-hour online support. What kind of stuff can you get, Otis, you may be asking? You can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, pillows, and if you search for them over there on Amazon, you can also check out their reading material. That's right, they publish books as well. Stay up to date with all the new merchandise and great deals on all their products. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest info about new products. Tell you what, you are not going to regret going to TrueCrime7.store, and at the checkout, don't forget promo code NLD to get you a 10% discount on your entire order. That's right, TrueCrime7, SEVEN.store. Tell them Otis sent you. And remember, stay curious, keep it creepy, and don't get murdered.
Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Here we go, episode 68. Man, we're getting up there, Skrull.
Yes, we are.
68. I'm going to tell you what, we have a good one. I'm Otis B. Dredds, and of course, as you just heard me address, my co-host here, Mr. Don Skrull, a.k.a. Chiller the Clown. Check him out over there at Chiller Presents Carnival of Souls. How's that group doing, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. I have a spectacular team of people over there.
That's awesome, man. Sorry, I was taking a drink of my coffee out of my coffee mug that I got from True Crime 7. Dot store. That's right. I'm a fucking sponsor whore. I do. I have a Don't Trust Hippies with a picture of Charles Manson on it coffee mug. I am drinking the shit out of my coffee right now. As always, I'm smoking some fine medical. I do have my medical card, so go fuck off, haters. I have my medical. I'm smoking some good medicine from Pure Ohio Wellness here in the state of Ohio. Obviously, if Ohio didn't give it away, awesome. You know, go to TrueCrime7.store. Get you something. Put in NLD as a promo code and get yourself 10% off. Don, we have a great, great show. One that's going to get very, very deep, I think.
Yeah.
We are talking about the Pennhurst State School and Hospital, also known as the Pennhurst Insane Asylum.
It is
a very, very crazy, crazy place. I mean, this place opened up in like, I think they were going, you know, trying to get it, you know, going in like 1903. Now, what they did was the physically and mentally handicapped. And we're talking about those with, autism, attention deficit disorder, kids, a lot of adults. Most of them, I think, in the beginning were adults. The reason we're talking about this, we're going to give you a little history. I got some clips that I want to play from a 1968 five-part little expose from Pittsburgh, NBC 10 by one Bill Baldini, who was a journalist, a correspondent, I guess you would call him, at that time, and decided to look into what was going on at Pennhurst Insane Asylum. Mr. Skirl, what do you know about Pennhurst? And then we'll get into this. I don't want to repeat myself. So what do you know about Pennhurst? I can give you all kinds of little, you know, tidbits, but
Pennhurst Asylum was started up in 1903 to house adults and children with epileptic seizures, and was also considered a school.
Right.
It was a psych asylum / school.
Yeah.
They
were housing what they called the feeble-minded. And like you said, those suffering from, you know, epilepsy, you know, the epileptic and the feeble-minded. It's just already a weird way to, you know, kind of put it. I guess they didn't have any other terminology. I don't know.
Well, it gets weirder. They labeled everybody, including the adults, as children.
Right. What the fuck is that about?
I have no idea.
Like the state's children. Oh, you're our children. Yeah.
And it started off even in 1903. In a few months, it started getting crowded. There was a doctor there, Dr. Fear.
Oh, Dr. Jesse Fear.
Yeah. He was the one that ran the asylum, pretty much. And there was another psychiatrist and about 9 staff members. And it grew. And this is just a short synopsis, and we'll get into everything.
Yeah.
As we go along. 20 buildings sprung up from that. And needless to say, it started becoming overpopulated. And then some bad things happened. And, A lot of bad things. And after that, it was shut down and became a haunted attraction. So
you can go and like visit this place and, go and just spend the night, see if you can find ghosts. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Paranormal. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, if you think about it and you think about all the bad stuff that happened, like I said, we'll get into it here in a minute. No wonder it's haunted.
I can see that. Yeah, so, I see where you're coming from, because there was a lot of mistreatment that was going on at Pennhurst. Again, I don't know what the economy was, you know, in that particular area. My guess is it was, you know, pretty much said, okay, you have a kid who is autistic. You have a kid that, hey, maybe had Asperger's. They didn't have a name, maybe. They didn't know what it was. That maybe they didn't have the technology, you know, the understanding, the science to say, yes, that's what this is. But they had a lot of, families that just couldn't deal with these kids that were mentally challenged, what they call retarded. They were put in the Pennhurst, and they underwent some of the most horrible, horrible things that you could possibly imagine. We are talking, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking patients, okay, adults, children that are strapped to their beds, not able to get up and use the restroom, or laying in their own piss and shit. It's absolutely horrible. See, that's what we're kind of going to cover, the first, 20 minutes or so. And then we're going to get into, you know, like you said, Mr. Skrull, the paranormal aspect to it. So,
yeah.
I would actually like to start out being that I, you know, did mention the fact of patients, and you know, you don't know, I guess, unless you were there. You don't know. Sorry, I had to hit the cough button. You don't know, how things were unless you hear it right from the patients or right from Dr. Fear. So, let's hear a little bit. Let's hear a little bit about a young boy named Johnny. Are you interested, Mr. Skrull?
Oh, yes, I'm quite interested.
All right.
Before we play that,
sure.
They also took in migrants and things there at that institution too.
Right.
It was just a hodgepodge of people, but mostly mental patients. And,
yeah, it was a melting pot.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, let's hear what Johnny. Let's hear about Johnny.
Let's hear about Johnny. And this goes, this coming straight from the horse's mouth, Mr. Dr. Jesse Fear. Let's see what he has to say. Oh, let me.
Nurse, but also a lack of money and an overextension of professional duties. As we mentioned last evening, the personnel employed here are, for the most part, dedicated, but even the most sincere people can be pushed beyond their professional capabilities. One case in point are the physicians. There are only 9 MDs in...
Well, we're going to get into Johnny, and I felt that this was a good spot to, you know, start it. Well, we're gonna hear Mr. Dr. Fear. Okay, isn't that weird anyway? In an insane asylum. Yeah, right. God, what shit is that?
You would think he would go by Dr. Jesse or something.
Right. I mean, at least switch your name up a little bit. Dr. F.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Psychiatrist working at the institution on a full-time basis. They are responsible for 2,800 sick children. Society's children. This fact sometimes forces medical personnel to work beyond their limitations and serve as disciplinarians. One case in point, Dr. Jesse Fear, a medical...
Oh my God, that just kills me. I'm sorry. That just
blows my mind that you have a doctor in a mental institution named Dr. Fear.
Now all they need is Dr. Fear and the other one be called Dr. Slaughter or something like that.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like doctors kill you.
Yeah, Dr. Killjoy and Dr. Fear or something. Right. Or Dr.
I'd rather have Mr. Roboto.
I would rather have a doctor called Hortense.
Right. I'd rather have... I don't know what I'd rather have. I just wouldn't want a doctor named Fear.
No. No.
That's horrible.
Even the doctor thought
it
was.
Right.
I question him on just how he handles patients with behavior problems.
Here we go, Dr. Fear, dreadheads.
We have found of late that it is quite effective to downgrade him a little bit and put him on a... All right,
I gotta stop him already. We have found that it is, you know, it works to degrade them, to make them feel like shit. What the fuck?
They're taking smart children.
Yes.
Put them in with not so intelligent children.
Yes.
And downgrading the ones with the higher IQs.
Yeah, and encouraging bullying, which we'll hear him say out of Dr. Fear's own fucking mouth.
What? What the hell was he thinking?
I have no idea. He got a half a sentence out, and I already had the pause.
Why would you put a perfectly, well, a not perfectly insane person, but an intelligent person,
right,
in to dumb them down?
Yeah, that's exactly what they were doing.
Smarter.
Right.
It was like you'd want to make them smarter and rehabilitate them to go back into society if possible or cure them of their elements. Why would you take somebody that is functioning halfway normal, at least understands what you're saying?
Some of them did, yes, and some of them were, you know, couldn't comprehend and had some severe issues. A lot of them, like you said, could talk and conversate with you, which, yeah, we'll play clips of that later.
Why would you do that? Why would...
He's sadistic. Okay, sadistic. All right.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's more of some Dr. Fear. Again, like 10 seconds into him talking, I have to pause it.
A locked cottage with autistic type children or hyperactive children, a classification that used to be called low grades or that sort of thing, and it offends their dignity somewhat. They don't like it.
Right. You offend their dignity. You make them feel like shit and they don't like it. Now, I guess I should have prefaced this from the very beginning. This is something you can watch yourself on YouTube called Suffer the Children. It was a 5-part TV, as I mentioned, NBC 10. By Bill Baldini. He did like an investigative report. You can watch this yourself, but I felt it necessary to play some of these clips, and it's actually the first time I've ever done this on a podcast, so I hope it works out well. But this guy is fucking evil. Oh yeah. It works, you know. It affects their dignity. Now, Don, you have a son with, and I hate to use this word, handicap? Because I don't see it as a handicap.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about that, you have the floor, sir.
Well, okay. I have a son. He's 18 years old. Skrull Jr. We'll just call him Skrull Jr. He's autistic. He has Asperger's.
Okay.
Back then, they thought autism was a downgrade.
Yeah, well, he needs to be offended.
I don't understand how Mr. Fear could think that when one of the smartest persons that was born back in the 1850s to the 1900s, or the mid-1900s, 1950-somethings, when he died, 55, suffered from autism himself.
And who was that?
Albert Einstein.
Albert fucking Einstein. He had autism, huh? Tell us a little bit about that, because we're tying this all together, because what you're saying is that somebody, that is, revered as one of the smartest people out there. You know, what are you, Einstein? You know, you hear all the little, jokes and whatnot. So, now you have somebody that if they were 10, 11 years old would be subjected to Dr. Fear. Tell us a little bit about this guy.
Well, Albert Einstein was a physicist, for one thing. And everybody knows he created the atom bomb.
Right.
He could not do simple tasks. Mm-hmm. He always had to have help doing simple tasks.
Couldn't even tie his own shoes. Is that?
Yeah, that's true. He couldn't tie his shoes. He had to have help with sometimes with an umbrella because he couldn't understand it. But people with autism, the only difference is between normal people, or what they call normal people, and autistic people, is that their brains are just wired a little different.
Exactly.
And they understand more complicated things than they do simple things.
Right.
So,
which is the complete opposite of me. I can sometimes understand simple things, but really complicated shit. No, you got me. And like you said, their brains are just wired different. Very different outlook, this documentary was, done, Suffer the Children in 1968. So, I mean, just very, and this went way before that, but very different thinking.
Well, what I'm getting at is he mentioned autistic children.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have an understanding of autism to an extent.
They labeled it. Yes. They labeled it. That's a great point.
So if you put it together, this man, in my thinking, Dr. Fear, he did not understand the psyche like others did.
Like we do now, or like others in his time. Yeah, I see what you're saying, man. That makes a lot of sense.
If he would have sat down and took time to observe these autistic children or autistic individuals, he would figure out that they're smart, that they know different things.
Yes.
That they're smart in different fields. Like, some of them are painters, chemists.
Yes.
Some of the world's leaders have autism.
Mm-hmm.
Vladimir Putin. Did you know Vladimir Putin has autism?
No, I did not know that.
Okay.
Nor did I care. But it works with the podcast. No, exactly. Yeah. Making a point.
He's a world leader.
Right.
He's a nation leader.
Yes.
And what is it to anybody to label somebody normal?
Yeah,
like, right? Normal people suffer from different things. So what is there to say what normal is?
I agree. Now, this guy, Dr. Fear, you know, if I'm not mistaken, in this particular clip, I believe, no, this is the Johnny, the young boy. This guy, okay, if one patient attacked another or did harm to another, they didn't look at the, you know, their personal, you know, debilitating, you know, whatever. Okay. His first solution, the only solution he had, was drug him. Inject him. Absolutely unbelievable. Scroll, let's listen to a little bit more of Dr. Fear. Let's see what the fuck he has to say. And if you need me to stop, you yell, stop! Otis, stop!
I defend their dignity on purpose by putting them on this profoundly retarded ward. That's in other words, say a child with an IQ of, say, 69 or so would be put on a cottage with children with an IQ of 10 or 20, and this is how you lower their dignity. That Do you find true. This an effective measure?
We have found it in some cases to be effective, but in other cases, why it doesn't work out.
Doesn't this degrade the person who is being disciplined to the point that he may regress?
I doubt it.
It makes sense. And what he say, I doubt it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
You're dumbing him down. You made that point earlier. You're dumbing him down.
But then he asked him. Then he asked him if it was effective, or would it dumb him down? And he goes, I doubt it.
I doubt it.
So he just contradicted himself.
Yeah.
In that sentence.
Yeah. That's a great point. Here's a heartbreaking moment coming up. And this is talking to a young boy by the name of Johnny. At first, I thought he was maybe about 10, 11 years old. Now that I, you know, look at him, and please, I mean, it's heartbreaking, yes, but check out Suffer the Children and see what this place was all about. And I promise you, we'll get into, you know, the paranormal aspect of it, but listen to poor Johnny. It's coming.
Not very much. Actually, what we're trying to do is degrade him to a certain extent amongst his fellows here. They make fun of him then for a while afterwards, but
they're promoting bullying. I can't stop.
Yeah. And then there he goes again. He says we're trying to degrade him.
Yeah, yeah. We got to break him down. Make him feel like shit. And we encourage bullying.
So at first he wants to degrade them, but he doesn't think it will work, or doesn't think they're being degraded. And now he's saying that they're wanting to degrade.
Right. Yeah. This guy's a fucking nutcase. I'm surprised he didn't have a room.
I don't think there's anything inhumane about it or anything of that sort.
How else do you deal with patients that are hyperactive?
I have given some of them intravenous pentobarbital sodium on occasion. Otherwise, they would do harm to themselves and others.
In other words, you drug them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
You know, if we...
Barbiturates.
Yeah, barbiturates. If we can't deal with you, we're just going to pump you up full of barbiturates and make you little zombies because we don't know how to deal with you because we don't understand you. Therefore, we're just going to abuse you in the fact of hopping you up on barbiturates.
Right.
Absolutely insane.
Crazy.
Absolutely crazy. Let's listen to some more. I think we're coming up on Little Johnny here, and this is heartbreaking. I believe we are.
Dr. Fear, can you cite just one example which shows the institution's attitude towards children that need just a little extra help?
John is a problem that I think can be resolved if he is exposed to the
enough barbiturates
therapy. And so far here, we have not been able to show any benefit from what we have given him.
Because he is said to be like a problem child. He has problems with other patients. Again, I think he's about 12, 13 years old. I don't believe that they go into, you know, how old he is. But I don't know. Unbelievable. What do you got to say, Skrull?
It was just what he said. He said, well, I believe he can be helped, but what we've done here, we can't help him.
Right.
So make up your mind. Can he be helped or can he not be helped? I believe these children, most of them could be helped.
Right.
If they were in the right conditions.
Yeah, and they're not, obviously.
I think, like I said earlier, my thoughts on Dr. Fear, I think he was just pretty much BS'd his way through school and was handed a degree. I don't think he was...
He kissed, you know, the right ass. I think I see what you're saying, yeah.
Well, let me put it this way. A doctor told me this one time. If you go to school to be a doctor and you graduate with all A's, you're a doctor. You pass to be a doctor.
Okay.
If you go to school and you pass with D's and barely pass, what are you?
You're still a doctor. Still a doctor, right?
So...
This guy was a D student, is what you're saying.
Yeah, barely passed school type deal. I think he had issues himself.
Yeah, he has to. I mean, he seems very, you know, sadistic to me. And let's listen a little more about Johnny.
There are places, and specifically, Eastern State has a program. That seems to help this type of case quite a bit. I had tried to get him into a Catholic organization. It turned out that his IQ wasn't quite high enough.
And his wiener wasn't big enough. Come on, Catholic, that was funny.
For them to accept him.
They do not accept retardates. So where is Johnny now, Doctor?
They do not accept retardates.
The Catholic organization does not accept the retards.
Isn't that awful?
I mean, I guess if you're, you know, I mean, you would think that, you know, a religious organization, excuse me, how they put themselves out there, like, everybody is welcome. You know, Catholics, you know, Mother Mary and all that, you know, but yet, oh, no, you're retarded. You're not allowed around us because we don't understand you. You act different than us.
Right.
Go to Pennhurst.
Wow.
What's Johnny's IQ now?
69. But that is a relative thing.
Where's Johnny?
That's an irrelative thing. Right?
Hey now.
Johnny is on Q2.
Here we go. Here's Johnny.
You have just heard about Johnny. He's been causing discipline problems here at Pennhurst, so they thought they would send him to Q2. We thought you would like to see where Johnny lives.
This is absolutely horrible. When you listen to this poor young man's, I mean, 1968, and like I said, he's anywhere from, you know, I'd say 11 to 14 in that age range. To hear him, and when you watch this, and I hope all of our listeners do go and watch this again, Suffer the Little Children, to watch him. He's got a blindfold on his face. He's not even allowed to see shit. This is torture. This is absolutely torture. Let's listen to Lil Johnny, finally.
Johnny, can you talk?
Yes.
Do you like it here at Pennhurst?
No.
Why not, John? Let me ask you this, John. Do you remember living anywhere except Pennhurst?
No.
Do you like talking to the people up here?
Yeah.
Why, John?
And they like to talk to me.
How about the other kids, the ones that can talk? Do they like to talk to you too?
Yes.
Do you like to talk to them better than the kids up here?
Yes.
Have you been talking more lately or less?
Less.
Why are you here in Q2, John?
I did something where I wasn't supposed to be doing.
That is sad. To me, that is sad. I did something I wasn't supposed to be doing. I was punished by being put around people that are actually even have a lesser IQ than myself, even though his is probably not that high. I was punished by having a blindfold put on my fucking face, maybe for the interview. I don't know. This is disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, you can listen to the how many people were in there when they were doing the interview.
Yes.
And how they
yeah.
were acting.
Yeah.
You know, that
It's horrible. There's just a little bit more of Johnny here.
And so they punished you and put you here?
Yes.
Do they do this all the time to you, John?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Johnny used to talk a lot more before he came to Q2. But ever since he's been here, he's talking less all the time.
Now, let me stop there because we're getting ready to get back into a little bit of Dr. Fear. But Q2, they had multiple buildings on this campus, and they did them by letters. You know, they'd have, you know, Building F, Building G, you know, Building Q. Building Q apparently was, you know, where they kept those, I guess, that, you know, couldn't deal with others or needed, you know, closer looking in on. Q2? Now that seems like some serious shit, don't you think, Skrull?
Yes, it does. Like I said, you know, this place was horrible to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you put them in there and locked away like animals, you know, and yeah. and they're overcrowded as it is anyway. And you take somebody like that and stick them in a room like that, that's just abuse. That's just straight up abuse.
Oh, it certainly is.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. Now, I want to play. That's all I'm going to play of, you know, young Johnny. Here's an older gentleman, again, very fucking telling. You watch this documentary, okay, about how the patients felt about this place. They all just wanted to get out. Get me out yeah. of here.
Yeah.
They didn't see it as helpful. It's disturbing. Let's listen to a little bit. This is John. How ironic. You have Johnny and John. Let's listen to a little bit of this.
The higher order.
Joe, how long have you been in Pennhurst?
He was asking in case that didn't come through. Okay, how long have you been in Pennhurst?
Do you know how long you've been here, Joe, that you remember?
I was 19 when I first came back.
How old are you now, Joe?
20.
Been in there a year. Listen to him. He's just drugged beyond belief. Now, maybe he has speech issues. Maybe he is, you know, mentally handicapped, retarded, whatever you want to fucking call it. Okay? But he is drugged beyond belief, it seems. He is made to be fucking docile.
Yeah.
Unreal. Let's listen to, and this one isn't long, and then we're going to get into what kind of supernatural and paranormal things that people have said about this place.
You want to go home?
Yeah, I like to.
Who's going to take you home?
Nobody.
Why, Joe?
They don't want me to.
You mean the people don't want you to go home with them?
Nope.
And your mother and father?
My mother's in Lovington, Virginia, Arkansas. I can't go down there and see her.
Uh-huh. How about your daddy?
No.
He doesn't want you. Who loves
you? That's sad. When you watch this and you say your daddy doesn't want you, and he just kind of looks down, like he's not looking at the interviewer, that being Bill Baldini. He's not looking at him. He looks down. That hurts him.
Yeah.
Not that it's Mr. Baldini's fault, because he's trying to get to the bottom of this. He's trying to, you know, that hurts him. This is heartbreaking. Just a little more.
Who loves you the most, Joe?
My mother.
Yeah? Who else?
My father.
Who cares about you? Does anyone ever come and visit you, Joe?
No, they don't.
Would you like somebody to visit you?
Yes.
Who would you like most in the whole world?
Yeah.
A what? What would you like most in the whole world?
The whole world?
Mm-hmm.
God.
Now, this is why he says this, okay? Because, again, as you mentioned, Don, they were all referred to as children. Whether they came in at 30, 40, or 13, they were all referred to as children. Now, this is why he says that he, you know, out of the whole world, you know, God, okay, and this is why. Listen.
Suffer children to come to me.
Suffer children come to me.
And forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.
And that's why.
Yeah.
And that's why. And that is absolutely horrible. That's about as much into... I think we've covered how horrible this place is. Tied to the fucking beds. Left to shit and piss all over themselves. I don't know how many people died in this particular asylum, but apparently there's some paranormal activity going on in this place, and a lot of people have said to have, you know, seen shadow figures and things like that. What do you have for us on that, Mr. Skrull? What's the paranormal connection to this?
Well, there's a lot of things that goes on in the buildings. There's reports of... one of the buildings having a little girl being seen in there. Shadow figures.
Are these, you know, dude, these, you know, shadow figures and whatnot, are these due to, you know, actual, you know, deaths, or, you know, because a lot of times, you know, like some of the ones, like we talked about Waverly Hills, I think a couple weeks ago or last week, hell, seems like a couple weeks ago. And, you know, there were actually some tragedies that happened, some suicides, some deaths in there. Is any of that, you know, pertain to Pennhurst? I mean, did these people, or they just lost spirits and that's, they passed and that's where they reside now? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you take all this negative energy in this asylum, plus all the deaths I'm pretty sure a lot of the patients never got to go home.
I agree.
Or got sick and died there.
Or were murdered. I mean, I'm sure some were probably murdered.
Probably so. And you take all this energy in this building, and these patients in life, they were mentally ill or you know, suffered a lot.
Right.
And that's the only place they knew was Pennhurst Asylum. So I think a lot of the ghosts come from there. Actually, it says, of course, they went from labeling the buildings from, like, letters
to
actually from names.
Okay.
And there's a report of even a nurse haunting the Limerick building.
I've heard that, yes.
In the L building?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
She's in uniform, and there's multiple EVPs there. The Devon building, there's unknown sounds and multiple EVPs.
Let me just take you back a minute, Skrull. What's the significance with the nurse? Was she mean to these people, so she has a mean spirit hanging around? Did she pass away here? I mean, what do you know the significance between the nurse and why she roams there, being that many people have gotten EVPs and such?
Well, I've heard several things. I've heard that she died there.
Okay.
In institution, or that she worked there. And she was a very, I guess, a grumpy.
She was the bad nurse. Person.
So she would, there's reports of the nurse actually stabbing people.
Oh, my God. Stabbing
people. Yeah.
Wow. And that kind of sounds like the movie that we just reviewed. Ward, because there was a mean-ass bitch nurse there, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, imagine, you think about it. It's two psychiatrists and nine staff members.
That's very true. Those are actual fucking numbers, and they had a patient number, of 2,800, I believe.
Yeah, something like 2,400 people.
Yeah.
And regardless, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you know, if I was a nurse working there, I don't think I would enjoy myself there either. I mean, to be honest.
I see where you're coming from. I mean, you only have, what you say, two psychiatrists and nine fucking doctors or something? Yeah, that's not a good ratio when you have, 10, 11, doctor staff in the entire fucking hospital. You should only have, at the max, 1,500 people housed in your hospital, and you have almost doubled that.
There's reports of shadow figures with dangling arms and upper portions of bodies looking over and around obstacles, doors and
popsicles.
And
did you say popsicles? Did you say popsicles?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I talked over that last part after the popsicles. Repeat that.
It was dangling arms and upper portions of bodies looking over and around obstacles. So they might stab you with a popsicle.
They might.
Sound like, yeah. Mean. It says there's doors being near them, like chairs have moved and doors have moved.
They creaking? Creaking doors?
Rocking chairs,
rocking,
you know, people being scratched, like with deep red marks. Just everything, objects being thrown.
And this is all in, like, you know, I mean, this isn't in, like, one specific, like, building, because they had numerous buildings on this campus, pretty much campus. Go ahead.
This one was in the Quaker building, which is probably the Q2 building.
Ah, right. Lil Johnny was in, yeah.
So I'd say that was one of the worst areas. It was said that a psychic medium, Sharon Pope, has felt multiple energies there, including either a demonic force or a past life that wasn't a very nice person. So
of course they're dead.
You know, for real. And
I'm not a nice person now. Just imagine when I'm fucking dead.
Well, let's listen to this. In the Mayfire building, there are shadow people that's been seen multiple times, EVPs captured, and investigators that have been touched in this building. The Tenicium or Tenicum building.
Okay.
It's multiple EVPs and investigators have been touched on their legs. The Philadelphia building, loud noises and voices heard coming from the building. Investigators surrounded the building and enter it via the tunnel system. No one was in the building, nor could they have fled without being observed.
Okay.
The administration building, multiple voices heard at various times, and EVPs caught what appears to be a toilet flushing. Listen to this, a toilet flushing.
But there's no plumbing, there's right?
Plumbing and electric.
Right.
But, there's no bathroom fixtures.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's strange. Hey.
Could you imagine sitting in an administrative building and hear a flushing sound and realizing that a ghost
just
has took a shit?
We got a ghost curling one around the U, Ben.
Yeah, for real, right?
Pinching a loaf.
And in the Hershey building.
Hershey, that's where it should have happened.
Yeah, for real. An investigator heard a female child's voice on the third floor. So that's just a little of what goes on. That's not even a full report.
No. Yeah, I mean, there's been numerous, you know, I'm going to call it accusations. I'm going to call it, you know, whatever it is, okay? A lot of it I call bullshit. Because I'm one of those guys, as most know, I have to see it to believe it.
Right.
I'm just one of those guys. I'm not saying that all of this is bullshit, although I will lean more towards the bullshit until I can see it, till I can spend enough time in a place. Because... And this is why I kind of wanted to, you know, bring one of these up. I know a lot of you dreadheads, you like to hear shit about cryptids. You like to hear shit about serial killers. You like to hear shit about, you know, paranormal and haunted places. And this is a time of the year that I, you know, I get with Dom, Night of the Living Dom, you know, on the quarantine theater shows. We get together because we're not that far, and hey, Skrull, we're not that far either. We're going to have to hook up and do something like this and go to one of these places. But here's the problem, okay? You can't just go for 8 hours and expect to see something, okay? And if you don't see something, it doesn't mean, this place is bullshit. This is a scam. You've only been there for 8 hours. Maybe you have to spend 2 weeks in that fucking place. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't happen like we see it on TV, okay, with ghost hunters and ghost adventures or whatever the fuck they are, you know? It doesn't happen like that. You don't go there and you know, I mean, every episode they catch something. It doesn't happen like that.
The thing, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead, brother.
The thing is, with with these people's got to understand, okay? These paranormal investigators that you see on TV, they're there to entertain you.
Yes.
Okay. They have to realize not everything's going to happen, you know, every time you go into a place.
Right.
A lot of these investigators like to set up things.
Yes.
So they can entertain you. Mm-hmm. But what it's just like any TV show, like wrestling's script and things. Well, so is these paranormal investigations.
I agree.
But let me say this.
Okay.
There is some stuff that are unexplained. And on these
TV shows?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. The people that have went there and documented it that are not on these TV shows.
Okay.
They do just.
I get you. You YouTubers. All right. I got you.
YouTubers, not even YouTubers, just people that's into the investigations.
Right.
Of the paranormal itself, go in and help other people that are being tormented by things. I think maybe there are some spirits, but I like a lot of them, I think, are what they call familiars, which are evil spirits. Or bad spirits, kind of like one religion calls them jinns, others call them demons. That get to know this person in their lives, and then they can mimic this person in the afterlife.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah, so you mean somebody could mimic me?
Yes.
In the afterlife. They're already dead, but they're mimicking things that I would do, like fucking with people. No,
They do, let me explain how this works.
Okay.
What they do is they hang around you all your life and get to know the way you act and the way you are. And influence things that you do.
All right.
Not physically. But
emotionally, mentally, they influence, you know, how you think or perceive things. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yes.
So they're like fucking parasites.
Kind of like, yeah.
They just feed off of you.
They get to know you through your life, and you pass away. Okay? Wherever your spirit goes, you leave. Okay? Okay. And these familiars are still around because they're not human spirits.
So it's like a doppelganger ghost.
Like a doppelganger, except it's an evil entity. It's an evil spirit.
What if you're already evil when you die? Then how much more evil can that get? The doppelganger ghost, you know what I mean? I hate to keep cutting you off, but actually I don't. Go fuck yourself, Skrull.
But what I'm saying is there's entities out there that we don't know about. And I do believe there's entities out there that get to know us and try to trick humans that are doing these paranormal investigations. And tricking them into believing that they're human spirits and loved ones that's passed away.
That's interesting. And you know what? I am more of a skeptic than anything when it comes to ghosts. Even when there's such a horrible history that surrounds a particular place, like we were talking tonight, Pennhurst, located in Pennsylvania. I don't know. I'm a see it to believe it. I want to believe. I'm like, you know, fucking, you know, Fox Mulder. And I want to believe.
Now the question is,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So you went to Pennhurst.
Mm-hmm.
And something did happen to you, or you did see something.
That I couldn't explain away with logic and science.
Yes.
Okay.
What would your outlook be after having that experience?
Well, let me put it to you this way, because I had that experience. I wasn't actually, you know, physically in the same room, but a good friend, Dominic, Night of the Living Dom, Dom the Movie Man, he was in a particular room. I think it was down the basement or something of Hillview Manor in PA, and they were doing a the little you know, that thing.
Yeah.
And
that thing, it drives you nuts.
Okay, so it goes through, you know, AM, FM frequencies. So what, you know, ghost hunters, you know, look at is there a complete sentence that's coming through, you know, cycling through these two frequencies at a certain speed? And that's what gets them. Now, here's the thing. What Dom got was a woman's voice saying, fuck. That's not going to come through on an AM or FM frequency because of the FCC. So that did not come from a frequency that was being cycled through. That came from somewhere else. Yes, I have experienced that. I wasn't there. I was waiting for who's going to be a guest here soon, my dear friend Blaine, and we're going to talk more about, you know, paranormal when he comes on in the future. But I was upstairs along with Jody. Jody was the only female in our group, and she was with me up in the little green room place where we can charge shit. And we were waiting on pizza and Blaine. And but Dom has this recording, and it's unexplainable. So I've babbled enough, man.
So, okay. So, but you're still a skeptic.
Yes. Yes, I am.
How can you explain that word coming for the radio then?
I can't. Okay, that's why I'm on the fence. I'm not, like, you know, hardcore skeptic. I'll still go into a place that is supposedly haunted, whether it be Waverly Hills, we talked about them, whether it be Pennhurst, or whether it be Hillview Manor again. I'll still walk in skeptical. Because I believe that your mind, if you walk in thinking I'm going to see ghosts, your mind's going to produce that. It's a very powerful thing. This is just fucking science, folks. You can, you know, see a shadow if you want to see one bad enough. If that is what...
it's called self-paranoia.
Right. And you'll kind of create what you want to see. You're already scared. You want to see ghosts. I go in there like, okay, now what the fuck is here? Okay, cool.
Right.
You know.
So if you walked up on a rocking chair,
okay,
and there's no wind or nothing, and you see that sucker sitting there still,
okay,
and it starts rocking, would that be enough proof to say, hey, there's something going on here?
Here's where I would go with that. I would go with it just like I went with the, you know, female voice saying, fuck. I would go with, okay, that was odd. Is there wind? And a rocking chair, you know, whether it has a solid back, you know, backrest, or whether it's just, you know, the post, could wind get through there, wind, you know, goes through the post It's not going to move the fucking chair. If it has a solid back, yes, there could. Is there wind? No. So, I would still, I'm still going to question, man. Maybe that's just, I don't know, deep inside of me. I'm still going to question things, even though it would be cool to think that those that have passed, loved ones, people we don't know, can still, you know, reside where we live, even though it may happen, you know, 50, 60 fucking years ago. They could still reside and hang around that particular place. That is a really cool fucking idea to me. Okay. But right now it's just an idea. Okay.
Right.
Because I don't know. I don't, you know, throw it in the fucking trash or anybody. I love this conversation. And my goodness, I have to pee. I hope the white coats allow me to pee at this hour. But yes, it is. It's, man, this conversation could go on and on and on. Unfortunately, it's not going to be able to go that way. Mr. Skrull, thank you, sir. What a great conversation. Check it out. Suffer the Little Children on Facebook. Not on Facebook. On YouTube. Check that out, man. But be prepared. It is quite disturbing. Hey, we'll see you guys later. NightLivingDreads.com. No A. Night Living Dreads over on Spotify, Stitcher, and Facebook. We'll see. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm alone and scared. I lost my mommy. Can you help me? All I wanted to do was play with you. Please come and play with me. I'm so lonely. Why do you seem so scared? I know things no one knows. We're going to die.